welcome to Just a Minute. Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and, of course, around the world, but also to welcome to the show four exciting, diverse, and talented individuals who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And they are seated on my right. We welcome that fine exponent of this game, that outstanding comedian, Paul Merton. And seated beside him, we have another fine comedian who's also a writer, that is Chris Neal. And seated on my left, we have a lovely stand-up comedian who's also a fine humorous writer, Tony Hawkes. I'm seated beside him, someone who's never played the game before, another fine comedian and a great presenter as well, Justin Moorhouse. Will you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak, if they can, on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Seated beside me is Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Performing Arts Centre in Lincoln, which is part of the University of Lincoln. And we have a fine Lincolnshire audience drawn from all quarters of this large county, and I hope also a sprinkling of students, as we begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject to start with is five things to do with a potato.
Looking at you, I can think of six.
I thought you were rather thrown with the subject, but I thought you're now obviously thrilled to have it. So yes. Tell us something in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Boiled potato, baked potatoes, mashed potato, roast potato, and chipped potato. It's an incredibly versatile vegetable, the potato. If it's given enough chances in life, it can learn to tap dance to a semi-professional standard, take on a job at the local McDonald's where it has the unlawful, terrifying thing of selling its own cousins away as French fries, a kind of cannibalism, which I think is wrong in this country today, that so many of the potato that we have here is unable to find full-time employment in now, which, of course, is the credit crunch. Should other vegetables perhaps like...
Justin Trounce.
Repetition of vegetable?
Yes, he did. He said at the beginning, yes, it's a vegetable. Justin, first time to play the game, first person to challenge. Right, so you got in and you have the subject of five things to do with a potato. 23 seconds available, starting now.
There's another thing...
Christian challenge.
Hesitation.
Oh, shut up. Absolutely wrong. Anyway, you've given him a point, so he's... Don't worry, Justin. So, what a way to treat a first-time player of the game. So you have a point, because you've got 2 points
Thank
now.
Thank you very much.
So, Justin, you've got 22 seconds still available. Five things to do with a potato, starting now.
There's a sixth thing you can do with a potato, and that's the dauphinoir. I was just so pleased that I said dauphinoir correctly. I don't know what it is. I know.
Does anybody else know what it is?
Yeah.
What is it, Chris?
Well, it's a baked dish where you take the slices of... You don't want them too waxy, you don't want them too floury, like red potatoes, something like that, and Maris Piper's too woolly. And you cook them slowly in cream, maybe with some thyme and garlic, and then put them in a baking dish.
Could you slow down? I'm taking this down as a recipe.
You can put cheese on the top, but there's a bit of a debate about that. And then you put it in a hot oven for about an hour. It's very good with roast lamb.
Right. Well, if you want to also know about cooking, tune into Just a Minute. Yeah. And also, it's the food programme follows us on a Sunday, so you've got...
They'll be disappointed that week, yes.
Yeah. Who challenged? You challenged, didn't you, Tony?
I did challenge, and I challenged for the the old-fashioned challenge of hesitation.
And you were absolutely right, because not only hesitated, he stopped.
He did.
Right. Tony, a point to you for a correct challenge. 17 seconds available. You tell us something about five things to do with the potato, starting now.
One of the most magnificent things about living in this great country of ours is that there are hardly any legal restrictions on what you can do with a potato.
call challenge.
Well, I challenged just before he got to the word potatoes. I didn't think he was going to, but I was going to go for deviation, but I think as I challenged, he did say potato. So,
he did say potato, yeah. Yes. He was winding down, but he was keeping going to the whistle when, but he's still got six more seconds. He got another point, of course, Tony. Five things to do with a potato starting now.
I often take a wheelbarrow, pop a potato into it, and walk it to the local church, declaring...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point on this occasion. It was Tony Hawks. He's in the lead now, ahead of Justin Morehouse and then Chris Neil and Paul. Chris Neil, will you begin the next round? The subject is moles. Will you tell us something about moles in this game starting now?
Moles are small, dark, hairy creatures with rather poor eyesight, and therefore I feel a great affinity with them. They live under fields and are the bane of many a farmer's life. Up they will pop, ruining his crop in that particular section. If only workmen could efficiently dig and fill in a hole. No, I suppose moles don't really dig, fill in a hole, do they?
Tony, you challenged.
Well, he was going so well, he decided to sabotage.
I know, I started having a conversation with myself.
But, he did repeat dig.
You're the one player of the game, Chris, who, when you slip up, draws attention to it. Give it a chance. Anyway, so correct challenge, Tony. 38 seconds. Tell us something about moles starting now.
There were famous moles, Philby.
A bit of a hesitation.
There was
a definite
fifth word.
So, Paul, tell us something about moles. 35 seconds available, starting now.
There was a popular song that went, I am a mole and I live in a hole. And in those...
Justin, challenge.
Repetition of hole.
No, I'm in a mole and live in a hole.
Did Chris not say hole before?
No, it doesn't matter. He said it, but Paul hasn't said it.
Nicholas, can I just put my hands up and say, that's not what they all told me before. at the same time, they said they'd go easy on me at the beginning.
But you're the one making the challenges. We're not going hard on you, you know.
Justin, if we couldn't repeat words that other people have said as well as the words we've said ourselves, I think it would be an impossible game to play.
The program's been going for 40 years, so every word that everyone said in that time...
Sorry.
The next thing is your challenge for people, something you said about 20 years ago. Bad luck. We'll try it. Lovely to hear from you, Justin. And
it'll be the last time.
No, don't be inhibited, please. Right. Paul, you have a mole still. 30 seconds, starting now.
I have a place in the country which is a lovely lawn, and there are these mole hills all over it, but I don't take the view that somehow I should do something to get rid of this creature, because as far as I'm concerned, it's his natural habitat, and I've just got a mortgage on it. So why shouldn't he stay there? And I think if we look around and we see the thing that moles can do...
Chris, challenge.
Were there two things, or as I said that, I wonder if one was a think and a thing.
No,
I don't know. Is anyone recording this so we can check?
I think it was a think and a thing.
That's right. Yeah. It's a think and a thing. You're sitting next to him, so we do.
It should get to me more quickly, really, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's going off a satellite.
14 seconds still available, Paul. Moles starting now.
Anthony Blunt was one of the great moles that betrayed this country after the Second World War. He was also the Queen's advisor to royal paintings, and I wonder, as they wandered through Buckingham...
Tony Challenge.
No, I don't think he did anything wrong at all, actually. No.
I think it's good of you to reassure him. I think you got confused between wander and
wonder. He said
wonder
and wonder and wonder, you see.
He wander and wondered, yes. So 4 seconds, Paul, still on moles with you, starting now.
The mole is a black creature that looks you straight in the eye.
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and at the end of the round has left 49 in the lead, just ahead of Tony Hawks, then Justin Morehouse and Chris Neil. And, Justin, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is social networking. I don't know whether it's something that you indulge in, but can you talk on the subject?
Not anymore, it's not. Not after tonight.
Starting now.
Social networking is a very interesting phenomenon, I believe, in this country. There'll be people sat here who do that kind of thing on the internet. Nice to see you out at the house instead of updating your statuses. The two main things are Facebook and MySpace. Never get those confused. Never invite anybody onto your face.
It's a repetition of never.
Yeah, never, never do that, never. A little tip. If you speak a little slower, you'll probably find it easier. Chris, you have a correct challenge. You have 45 seconds. Social networking starting now.
Social networking is a way of not having to actually see real-life friends ever again. You can sit in front of your computer terminal, whether it be a desktop or a laptop, and...
Justin, challenge.
I was going to say repetition of top.
Well, I think you'd be wrong.
I know I am.
It was a repetition, but desktop and laptop are one word.
I know.
So I'm sorry about that, Justin. But no, we love your keenness.
I've breathed more than once. Do you want to get me on that as well? Oh, stop being so queenie.
I don't know why you're offended, because you gain points from the wrong
challenge. I know, I don't know why.
No.
Well, I give up my rightful place of coming last.
33 seconds, Chris. Social networking starting now.
If you've not seen a pal on one of these social networking sites for a while, you can poke them, which means you throw a sheep at them or a turk or...
Justin, challenge.
Repetition of them?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh. Sharp listening now. Justin, we're back with you. 34 seconds available. Social networking starting now.
I said to my father, what did you do before social networking? He said, I had real friends. I said, that's interesting.
Paul, challenge.
Repetition of said.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but Justin just challenged for them, so... Once you establish the rules in which you're prepared to challenge, then you must equally... live by the sword as well as you die by it.
And they are the rules of the game.
Yes,
said is quite a strong word. 18 seconds, Paul. Social networking starting now.
I've known more friends through doing Just a Minute than anything else, which gives you some idea what a miserable life will have in 19 seconds. And I look around, I see here all my friends looking at me. Nicholas.
Tony, challenge.
Yeah, repetition of friends.
You had too many friends. Yes. Tony Hawks, we're going to hear from you on this subject as well. And you have 9 seconds still. Social networking, starting now.
I think I may have lost a lot of friends as a result of social networking. I receive an email saying, would you like to be a mate?
So, Tony Hawks was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton, followed by Justin Morehouse and Chris Neal, that order. All right, Paul, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is honorary degrees. Ooh, there's a frisson went through the audience then. Tell us something about that subject, Paul, in this game, starting now.
I don't have any honorary degrees, but I'm open to offers. I wrote a book about silent comedy about 2 years ago that may be considered eligible for an honorary degree. And I believe our esteemed chairman, Mr. Nicholas Parsons, collects them like old shopping bags, don't you? He's got 15 honorary degrees from Glasgow, Aberdeen, Edinburgh, Inverness. He's always been very popular in Scotland. Swansea, Cardiff, Oswestry, which, as you know, is on the border between England and Wales. And I believe he's also...
Justin, you've challenged.
Deviation.
Yes, I haven't had honorary degrees from all those places. I have one from Lincoln. Of which I am truly proud.
I think that's a national scandal.
So it was deviation. I haven't had all those. So, Justin, you've got the subject. 32 seconds, honorary degrees starting now.
I don't think I could have got a degree from any university because I'm not intelligent enough. I did...
No, it's a shame he's not intelligent enough. You're right. You're right to show sympathy.
Yeah.
I was going to challenge the audience. He's absolutely right. Of course, that's why he's not got an honorary degree.
But you did challenge. You were challenging the audience. You can't do that in this game.
There was a hesitation.
There was a long hesitation.
Yeah.
He paused because the audience gave this huge wail of sympathy towards him.
Yeah.
But we have to go by the rules in just a minute, and you have to keep going.
It's a hard game. Deal with it.
Yeah. So let's hear from you on honorary degrees, Chris. 17 seconds, starting now.
I haven't got any honorary degrees. Unlike Dale Winton, who's got an honorary degree in tanning booths from the University of Worksop.
Justin, challenge.
Deviation?
Because it's not true.
No, it's not true at all, is it?
No, he hasn't got a honorary. You couldn't have it in tanning booths. It's a lovely idea, but didn't get
that
much
of a... Is that a small town in Somerset? tanning booths. I've had a postcard from there.
It's a lovely thought, Chris, but it wasn't correct. So, Justin, you have another point, and you still have the subject. 10 seconds, honorary degrees, starting now.
It's one of the things that makes this country great, that we can still bestow upon even the thickest members of the public an honorary degree.
Justin, you were speaking as the whistle went. You gained an extra point for doing so. You move forward. You're still in third place. You're just behind Tony Hawks and a few points behind Paul Merton. Chris is trailing a little. And Chris, subject is men who wear glasses. I should explain to our listeners, in case you want to know, Chris wears glasses, I wear glasses, Justin Morehouse wears glasses. That is the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
Men who wear glasses usually, or quite often, started out as boys who wear glasses. I was 7 when I had my first pair of glasses, and I remember the optician had breath which could strip the paint off a car. And when I came round, my mother had to throw water on me to bring me back to the seat. She said, now, she said, son.
Justin Challis.
Repetition of she?
Yes, she.
It's a lovely story.
Well, Chris, maybe you'll get in again and finish it. But by the rules of just a minute, you have a challenge against you. Justin, a point to you. 38 seconds. Men who wear glasses, starting now.
Men who wear glasses are always the first subject I go for in any game of Guess Who. Then I go for men who have beards.
And Tony Challenge.
Think repetition of go for.
Go for, yes. Men who go for. Yeah. And so, 32 seconds. Tony, with you, men who wear glasses, starting now.
Men wearing glasses doesn't necessarily mean they have anything in common. Gandhi wore glasses, so does Timmy Mallet. That doesn't mean, of course, that they could have.
Justin Challenge.
Repetition of mean.
Yep.
Yes, mean, definitely. Well listened, Justin. 21 seconds, back with you. Men who wear glasses, starting now.
You may say Timmy Mallet and Gandhi have nothing in common, but I've seen them both in nappies. I often play...
What's your challenge, Chris?
Well, it's not really about wearing glasses, it's about nappies, a deviation.
No, he established the fact that they both wear glasses. And when he went on to say that you've seen the birth in
that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Now it's interesting, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it insulting to say Gandhi wore nappies?
Probably is.
The great men of the 20th century.
We won't dwell on that. But,
no.
So, Justin, you have another point, and you have 15 seconds. Men who wear glasses, starting now.
There aren't many men who wear glasses who are in power. Gordon Brown doesn't wear glasses. Neither does Alistair Darling. Neither did Margaret Thatcher.
Chris Challenge.
Oh, Alistair Darling does wear glasses.
But doesn't matter.
When did he start wearing glasses?
Alistair Darling wears glasses, doesn't he?
Yes. Definitely. And the audience have endorsed it.
I remember sometimes when he falls asleep and the book drops, I have to take his glasses off and put them at the bedside table, so I do know that, actually.
You've got a correct challenge. 8 seconds. Men who wear glasses, starting now.
Men who wear glasses come, as we've discovered, from a variety of fields of work and life in general.
So, Chris Neil got some points in that round, including one for speaking when the whistle went. He's moved forward. He's still in fourth place, but he's moved. And... But he's not very far behind Justin Morehouse and Tony Hawks, both equal in second place. 2 points behind our leader, Paul Merton. And Justin, we're back with you to begin. And the subject we'd like you to start with is poker. I don't know whether you're an exponent of that, a wonderful card game, but anyway, talk on it. 60 seconds, starting now.
I've often played poker. I've played Texas Hold'em. People often say I have a poker face, like a jack of clubs. But the problem I have had playing poker is that I'm not very good at it. I try, but... I like this game.
Sudden loss of oxygen.
That's right. He tried, but he failed.
I was concentrating on trying to talk slowly, and then I forgot what I was going to say. I can't do two things at once.
Paul, correct challenge, another point to you. 48 seconds available. Poker, starting now.
One of the joys of a real coal fire is being able to get a hold of a poker and to disturb the embers and the flames and the burning coals that you see in front of you. And you think to yourself, this magnificent poker, it may be made of iron, that's usually the best. If you go for the paper ones, they don't last as long as you think they might. We had a cardboard poker that lasted for quite a long time, in fact, all the way from New Year 1968 through to Christmas Day 1972. And we looked after it like it was one of the family. It actually resembled Uncle Albert, and he was a lovely man. He used to sit outside when the sun shone and inside when it was raining.
Tony Jones.
I think he was doing a clever little ploy of... He'd run out of things to say about pokers, and it was deviation because he was telling us about Uncle Albert.
Yeah. No, I mean, the poker looked like Uncle Albert.
Yeah.
A cardboard poker. This cardboard poker that lasted 4 years...
Yes.
..looked like Uncle Albert.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you go into the realms of the surreal, you have to accept all kinds of unusual suggestions.
You don't have to defend it, though, do you?
No, but you established that your cardboard
poker... And also,
poker...
you didn't say that you'd actually used the cardboard one,
had you? No, no, we couldn't, because it was made of cardboard. It wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes in the car.
Well, yeah.
We may have been working class, but we weren't stupid.
Yeah.
We understood.
It would have been rude to Uncle Albert anyway, wouldn't it?
Well, exactly.
You might have got confused.
Yes. Indeed, that's why we didn't do it.
And maybe you had a cardboard cutout of Uncle Albert
as well.
No, don't
be ridiculous. I think you're wandering in the realms of fantasy there, I think.
You've got another point, Paul. 13 seconds, poker starting now.
Some of my friends at the Comedy Store Players like to get together for poker evenings, and I joined them once, but unfortunately I didn't take it as seriously as the rest of them. They like to get together in a circle, have the cards dealt out, and seriously play the...
Again, gained another point. He's moved forward a little bit ahead of all the others. And let me tell you the situation as we move in the final round. Chris Neal is trailing just a little in fourth place. He's behind Tony Hawks. And then just ahead of him is Justin Morehouse, who hasn't played it so often. And 5 or 6 points ahead of Justin is Paul Merton, who's in the lead as we go into the last round. And it comes round to you, Paul, to begin. And the subject to start with is the best thing about the person next to me. I should explain to our listeners, Paul has now moved round in his chair and is now facing Chris Neal. And he's going to start with 60 seconds to go now.
The best thing about the person sitting next to me is I can see a reflection of myself in his eyes. What a gorgeous creature I am. Hair was spun gold.
Justin Challenge.
Deviation?
Why?
It was about Paul and not Chris.
But I could see a reflection in his eyes. That's the best thing about him, my reflection in his eyes.
Cheers.
I think it was quite logical what he said just then. So he has another point, keeps the subject. 52 seconds. The best thing about the person next to me starting now.
It's his indomitable...
Chris Challenge.
Deviation, but earlier you said that you could see the reflection of you and you had hair of spun gold. Mm.
You've got to get your eyes seen to. I think it's asleep in your corner of your eyes. That's what I'm seeing.
So what's the challenge, Chris?
Well, it's not... Paul's not really... He's got a lovely head of hair, but it's more sort of... matted grey.
Grey?
Right. I must say, Paul, as much as I do admire your fine head of hair, I wouldn't describe it as spun gold.
No. So how do you feel about matted grey?
And I wouldn't have allowed that either.
No.
So there you are. That's a good friend. Right. Chris, I wondered who you were for a minute. you've got the correct...
Oh, but hang on a second. Chris challenged after I'd started again and the spun hair had been in the previous bit. Yeah. So I started again, I got one word out, and then Chris said the thing about spun hair, but I'd been in the previous bit.
Yeah. You can't have retrospective stuff, otherwise I'd have another go at that cardboard poker.
Exactly.
You're perfectly right, Paul. Yeah. You can't have retrospective challenges. No. So 52 seconds is with Paul now. The best thing about the person next to me, starting now.
Reasonable, well-balanced. These are just some of the qualities that he aspires to. He's a fantastic creature. If God is a man, and surely he can be here in proud Lincoln, then he must look like Chris Neal. I'd be quite prepared to walk into a church where all the statues had his head on them, and I would bow down before them.
Don't challenge!
Tony, you challenge.
Well, I had to stop, otherwise it would have gone to Chris's head, obviously. But there were a few woods in there.
I would. Well, listen, Tony.
Yeah, 30... well done.
Oh,
well done, you.
So glad you've had your 30 seconds of adulation. Now relax, Chris. 31 seconds, Tony, are still available. The best thing about the person next to me, starting now.
I should point out that I am sat at the end of...
Justin Challenge.
There's nothing really great about me, so he was obviously going to deviate.
Your modesty gains you a bonus point. As we enjoy what you say.
Even though it veers on the cusp of sickening...
Strap yourself in for this bit, then.
So many compliments. Right. 29 seconds. Tony, because you got a point because you were interrupted. 29 seconds with you. The best thing about the person next to me, starting now.
I'm seated on the end of the table, so the person next to me is an A1 in the front row and possibly a farmer. You cannot be sure. But I can tell you the best thing about him is his beard. It is magnificent.
Chris Challenge.
Deviation, it's a woman.
I have to point out when this is...
I mean, to be fair, she's not shaved, but...
but it is... And Tony was overcome with embarrassment, and he's gone down on his knees in supplication to her and said, I'm very, very sorry. Yes, I think it was apologies. I don't know, but... So, Chris, yes, you've got a correct challenge there, and you've got 8 seconds to say something about the best thing about the person next to me, starting now.
Paul Merton is the person sitting next to me, and some of the very best things about him are his judgment, his sense, his...
Speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and at the end of that round, he's brought the show to a close. I'm just getting the final scores from Sarah, and I can let you know that Chris, in spite of his humorous contribution, in particular that last remark he made, has finished up in a very strong fourth place. Tony, who's been Tony Hawks, who's been known to triumph in this show, finished in third place, only two or three points ahead. But 1 point ahead of him was the fellow who's never played the game before. Did extremely well in second place, Justin Morehouse. But a few points ahead of him and all the others is Paul Merton. So once again we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players and great humorists of this game. Paul Merton, Chris Neal, Justin Morehouse and Tony Hawks. I also thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle very delicately. We're indebted to our producer, Claire Jones, and particularly indebted to the man who created this lovely game, Ian Messiter. And we're... His family will be delighted to hear that extra round of applause. And we are indebted to this lovely audience here at the Performing Arts Centre here at the University of Lincoln, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From our lovely Lincolnshire audience, from the panel, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute!